AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
AJ, Bridge and Spider, it's the podcast.
Yeah, if you missed it, if you want to go out fishing over the weekend, Herb with all his fish and tips. And also, didn't the phones light up when we started cranking cyclists about riding in the middle of the road?
And the phones light up.
And the phones light up.
The Bachelorette lighting up hearts and absolutely breaking others. We spoke with Jared, do we call him a reject?
Yeah.
Poor thing. But hey, that's all right. Where was his Blueberry Hill? We talked about that with the passing of Fats Domino, where your inverted commas Blueberry Hill was.
Baby.
If fishing fails, get into scales.
Well, mate, things would have got stirred up last night or not with that bit of action that came through late yesterday afternoon, Herb. Morning.
How you going, guys? Yeah, look, storm action, it's great, and I love the good storm in the afternoon. There's nothing like it. And that does fire up the fish, actually, AJ, as you say. Big mangrove jacks start to feed around this time of the year, especially with the storm in the afternoon, the barometer on the rise. Boom! Off they go. Live baits, lures, whatever you like. Bridge pylons, top of the Coomera's working well. There's even reports of a few barra up there already.
So, oh, yes.
Exciting times of the year, this time of the year. The current will start to run offshore. There's already reports of dolphin fish and wahoo out past the 36-50 fathom line. Big blue marlin out there as well. The small blacks will start moving down to the paddock off the pin. The snapper will slow down a little bit, and the kingies, when the current starts to rise and get a bit stronger out wider. But all in all, it's exciting times this time of the year. The warms up and the storms come through.
Yes, Herbert.
And the crabs are on the chew.
I went out the other day, did a bit of crabbing. They were pretty thin where I was up the top of the Coomera. The creeks are working all right, but no, there's not a lot of mud crabs at the moment. I mean, the big ones are all in shedding their shells and getting ready for the new year. A little bit early in the year to start crabbing for mud is my liking, but there are plenty of sand crabs around. I did get a lot of big sand crabs, so more try the sandy areas and the weedy banks and leave the rivers alone for the crabs for probably another 8 weeks.
Yeah, until you've got your fair share. Now, there's a heap of good charters here on the Gold Coast. We know that, but if you were to go out on a charter, I find it a good way to go out if you're not that confident and you haven't got your own boat. Mm. What would you go chasing? Isn't dolphin fish the best fish to eat?
Yeah, off the coast here, yeah. Look, Paul Burt's got a boat down off the Tweed. That's probably my choice if I was going to go on a charter boat down off the Tweed. Bit better fishing down there. And, they will start chasing dolphin fish and wahoo and likes of Spanish mackerel. But probably in another 4 weeks, they'll start chasing them. So you still get your feeder, snapper and trag if you go out on a charter this time of the year. Charter fishing's good, but you got to do it like Dick Johnson. Go up for a week off the Swains, catch trout.
You wish you were there. Oh. He called up earlier with a traffic report, accident outside IKEA there, and you wish you were there, don't you, Herb?
I just thought when Dick was on the phone this morning, I thought, thank God I'm not driving to Brisbane this morning.
No, there's an accident there. Well, you never know, Herb. We might be having a crack myself, and Herb might be going to Darwin before the end of the year. There's the $1 million fish. They release a 100 fish with a $10,000 tag on it. So if you catch that fish, you automatically win $10,000.
Wow.
And there's one barra up there that's worth $1 million. You catch it, you walk away with $1 million.
Yeah, closes really in exciting, February. Spider. I can't wait to get up there with you and have a go at it. And how long is the plane ride to Darwin?
Four and a half.
Mm. Herb, before you go, controversy yesterday in Hedges Avenue. Big controversy today on the front page of the Bulletin. Yeah. All over the news last night where a bloke took some video following some cyclists. They were 3 and 4 abreast going down Hedges Avenue, which we know is a one-lane road. Mm. And he couldn't get past the cyclists. You have an opinion on cyclists and cars in southeast Queensland, Herb?
I got an opinion on them, but probably one I shouldn't say on the radio. But, look, I know we've got to be considerate of them on the road, but they've also got to be considerate of us on the road. So, I mean, I don't know how they could tell they were doing the speed limit. Do they have speedos on them push bikes
now? Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
I don't understand all that.
Yeah, they have speedos.
Oh, well, there you go. But anyway, look, we've all got to have consideration for each other
exactly.
and make the world a better place. You can't point the finger at one person and then each blame. You've just got to let it go. And and remember, too, guys,
vote Herb.
Yeah, if there was a fishing pageant, you've just won it with that speech.
Mate, thank God you're married. If you're on Bachelorette, mate, Bachelorette, you'd win it hands down.
Yeah, I wouldn't be giving them a rose, I can tell you that. This is coming into Christmas, guys. Make sure you get your Scale Seafood app to make ordering your seafood easier, especially for your prawns around Chrissy time. Over.
Now, listen, yesterday, the Bulletin highlighted it on their Facebook page yesterday. There was a bit of a stink on Hedges Avenue. There was a fellow, his name is Matt Dennis, and he was in an SUV and he was driving behind what looked to be a group of, about six or seven cyclists who were riding down Hedges. And as we know, it's a one-way thoroughfare.
Yes.
It's not very wide.
No.
The speed limit now is at 30 kilometres an hour through that part. He was up behind the cyclists who were abreast. They were two and three abreast, and he was travelling behind them, couldn't get through.
Yes.
And it turned to a situation where he was starting to get upset about the fact that he couldn't get through. The cyclists were saying, we're doing 30 kilometres, we don't need to move over. And hence it turned into a bit of a mess. So this is what basically transpired yesterday.
You guys are dead set f***ing imbeciles, aren't you?
30 k's, mate. 30 k's, 30 k's,
mate. Get in the f***ing cycle lane, you. Get in the cycle lane, guys.
What a bunch of
So Matt was suggesting that cyclists should have been in the cycle lane. He was in a car. What are you guys thinking?
Oh, where do you start? First of all, looking at the photo, they're not really two abreast. They're so spread out, they look three abreast.
Yeah.
My opinion is, okay, yes, apparently the cops are saying it's fine and whatever. There's a cycle lane for a reason. So why not be in that cycle lane and don't antagonise people? And this is the problem, is I don't agree with what Matt said, calling out names. I don't agree with that. But cyclists, we know there's a problem with drivers, and drivers are the same. So don't antagonise them by being and taking up the whole space and then wonder why people get so upset. They're not two abreast. They look like they're more three abreast. And there's a massive bike lane there for you, so use it.
Yeah, look,
because you don't pay rego, so you shouldn't even be in that anyway. You're with me on that, aren't you, AJ?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, I don't think we can go down the rego path. They're there, they play a role. But, look, they are two abreast, except they're sitting in between each other.
Yeah.
So they're still going two. They've got to sit a little bit further back. But they were going the speed limit. Like, they were going 30K, so the guy can't go any faster anyway. And Hedges is a tight avenue because that one bike lane, you've got to think of the bikes coming the other way as well. So it is just a smaller road. The guy had to, maybe be delayed for, 3 minutes? He's got to relax. The driver's got to, he couldn't go any quicker than 30Ks. And it's better than, the riders are better going down Hedges Ave and along the beach strip than they are being on the Gold Coast Highway.
But isn't it the principle that there is a bike lane for them, a designated lane to stop this antagonism? If they stayed in it, they wouldn't be a problem and they wouldn't have to defend themselves as bike riders.
You can't stay in the bike lane. I agree with around Currumbin Valley and all that, where it should be only one rider. Not two there, but somewhere like Hedges and along the beach road, where it's only 30Ks, and they're going there 30 kilometres an hour. It's not like they're holding up anyone. I don't see a problem. I think there's certain places they can and can't ride, and Hedges Avenue, I haven't got a problem with that at all.
All right, I've got Shannon here on the line at the moment. Shannon, what's your opinion, mate?
Mate, to be honest, I think they really got what was coming to them. They need a little bit of a wake-up call at times. If we were to drive through their bike lane, we'd be the worst ones on earth, and we'd be copping fines and all the rest.
Yeah.
So why can they ride over the road with no regard at all? It's not safe, it's not right, and it's the age-old argument too. We're paying our rego to drive on a lane. Where are they paying to drive in a lane?
You're right, Shannon, and I think that it's for the safety of everyone and for the safety of the bike riders as well. Get out of it if you want to be safe.
If more people rode, it would be a lot easier.
But then they want us to stay away a metre and a half or whatever from them. Well, how can we when you're in our lane?
Mitch, how are you, Mitch? Mitch, what have you got to say, mate?
Mate, I agree with the last bloke. That's absolutely right. We all pay regos to be on the road, and not to mention they don't follow the road rules, and they put other people in an unsafe predicament. Mm-hmm. They don't do their blind spot checks when they're riding around parked cars. They veer out over a solid line. They ride
I don't think all of them. I think a lot of them stick to the rules. You know, it's like driving. There's not every driver does exactly the whole thing, everything right at the same time, at the same place. So, look, there's certain riders that don't do that. But I think as a whole, they certainly do. But I think the rules can be changed on certain roads.
Pete, what do you got to offer up, mate?
Oh, I'm just wondering if it's all right to ride in the road. Can I drive my truck in the bus lane?
Well, horses for courses. Apparently, that's not the case.
Yeah, take the truck around the velodrome.
I'm actually bigger and heavier than a bus. I reckon I should get that lane. Why not?
Hey, Pete, being in Currumbin, you were a bit annoyed that the second weekend in the row we've got this Australian Masters on. We've got more bikes. You can't even get home. You can't get out. It's blocked all day.
Don't start me.
That's
a Friday. Everybody
don't
needs just to
me.
Relax. We need a bit of a nice little, just a moment, just to, you know, all relax and get along. We're on the greatest city in the world. It doesn't matter.
What have you taken
It's only
morning?
2 or 3 minutes out of your day. Let's relax a little bit.
Trish is on the phone at Coomera. What do you got to offer up, Trish?
Hi, I'm sorry, Spider, but I don't agree with you at all.
Come on, Dar.
I drive down Hope Island Road every single day in my commercial van. Every morning, I've just come down there again now. That bike lane is a metre and a half wide, if not 2 metres in some places.
Thank you. It is.
I get stuck behind groups of bike riders every single day. The thing is, they have their own bike lane on a busy 70-kilometre-an-hour road. They will literally spread themselves out across the left-hand car lane, or they will pull out, swerve around each other to do their little changing the leader thing.
Oh, give me a break. They don't, do they?
But I'll tell you,
but if
every day.
But if you're the leader, Trish, you're pretty excited. That's a good place to be in the pack.
No, they're a menace. They should be paying Rego or they should be fined. They're an absolute.
Yeah, that's true. And Trish,
thanks,
you know what?
Trish.
I think they should take they're literally the bikies. Idea. They're very good at keeping very conformed
two and two.
They
are very, very good. And they don't cross the borders too quick either.
Jason on the Tweed, you're on my side, buddy.
Oh, definitely. They get given a bike lane that's more than a little bit over 2 metres in width and they tend to sit on a solid line that is 5 inches wide, which puts the driver that's behind them out a metre into someone else's lane.
Oh, thank you.
Come on, is there any of my piccolo sipping friends out there that are, the cappuccino people that sip coffees with me and like the bike riders?
Well, that's another problem, how much they clog up our cafes, but that's...
Lisa, what have you got to offer up?
Oh, hi. I think the last caller, Martin, said what I was just going to say. I just passed a bike then at Currumbin. They've got a huge bike lane, a couple of metres wide, and he's riding on the white line right next to the road and his tyre's going into my lane. Why is he not in the middle of his bike lane?
We want to keep them safe too. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We want to keep them safe.
Lisa, would it be the same? I know that the Lycra, but if they had board shorts and a flannel on, like the tradie that lost his licence, would you give him a bit of, you know, leeway?
No.
Okay.
Bike lane's a bike lane. If it was me, I'd be going into the bush more than to the road.
That's right. Well, you know what? We're going to talk to the head of the traffic police, Braden Murphy, soon, because the police say it's okay. They weren't doing anything wrong. I don't understand how they're not.
Well, they're doing the speed limit. Wow. The car can't go any quicker.
But does that mean if they do 60 k's an hour, they can just be on the Gold Coast Highway in the middle of the road? Like, come on. We've got to get to the bottom of it.
It was all over social media yesterday. It's on the front page of the paper today with the heading Lycra or Lumpet. There was an incident on Hedges Avenue where a bloke called Dennis was driving his SUV behind some cyclists. As we know, it's one way. It's now 30k. He couldn't get past. The cyclists were suggesting that they were riding the speed limit, so he didn't need to get past. And it's caused, dissension across the Gold Coast again, the cycle debate. So we've been taking calls on 1327.
Yeah, not only over the Gold Coast, here in the studio. I can't see.
Oh, we press the button.
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
We press the button because, look, they'll go on the speed limit. You've got to be, it's a big enough city for everyone to get along, and cyclists are still going to be cycling. So I don't see the issue with, you know, people saying regos and this and that.
No.
Look, they'll go on the speed limit. You're not going to be able to go any quicker anyway.
Let's all just get home safe and stop antagonising each other. And that's what the bike riders would do.
And motorists do it just as bad.
Yeah, that's right. But who's in a bigger car? So, you know, you've got to play it safe. Anyway, we've got Sam here. Sam, what's your opinion on this? Sam from Lower Beachmont.
I totally disagree with you, Spider. Cyclists seem to be the most inconsiderate bunch of road users I've ever come across in my life.
Wow.
What happened?
I live on Lower Beachmont.
Yeah.
And we just get cyclists being so rude and inconsiderate all the time up there. They ride in the middle of the road. It's one way each, like two lanes. You've only got to fall off the mountain or kick the other side of it.
Wow.
I had one guy one morning. It was 5:30 in the morning. I was trying to get to work. I had lots of time. I wasn't speeding. I was quite casual. I tooted him nicely to let him know I was behind and trying to get past him.
Yeah.
He was so antagonizing. He held onto the wing of my car the whole way down the mountain. So that's about 12 kilometres. He was abusing me the whole way.
What?
I wanted to slam my brakes on and watch him go through my windscreen. I was that mad.
Whoa.
And I was scared. I was actually petrified.
Look,
mongrel.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. But and around those hilly areas, I agree with only one deep. But thanks very much. You don't deserve that, Sam.
Spider, I've got one on your side here.
Steve
at Burley, who's a long-time cyclist on the Gold Coast. What's your opinion, Steve?
My opinion is that there's plenty of crazy cyclists and there's plenty of crazy car drivers.
Exactly.
I mean, I see people in cars every day driving on them, you know, driving along on their mobile phones.
Oh, yeah, same with me.
I mean, I do 350 Ks a week. I race competitively. I know that there's some cyclists out there that don't give us a good name, but I've got two young kids at home, 10 and 5, and I want to come home safely, right? And I'm allowed to use the road by law. I know what the laws are. The laws say that I can ride two abreast. As a courtesy, when I ride with my mates, I try and single out where we can. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't go off to, you know, how you're supposed to go, stay as far left as possible. Sometimes you can't do that because there's so much debris on the road.
I get that. I get that, Steve. But can I say, if for someone who wants to go home to their parent, to their kids, don't antagonise people who aren't that good on the roads by not sticking to the bike lane. I think they antagonised, I don't agree with the behaviour of the person in the car, but I think there's too much antagonism from bike riders. And if you want to get home safe.
Both. I think it's both.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair enough, and you're probably right. But you know, like I say, I race competitively and I ride a lot, and I've got a lot of, you know, the good cyclists out there are courteous.
Yeah.
And we're always conscious of car drivers. I don't want to be.
And do you pay rego on your car?
I pay two lots of rego.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think a lot of cyclists do.
I think the other thing on that,
car.
I mean, I haven't seen the video of the Hedges incident, but at the end of the day, I don't know whether those cyclists were antagonising or not, but one thing I will say is that when you're driving a car behind a bunch of cyclists, sometimes it looks like three abreast when they are actually two abreast.
Yeah, no, that's what we spoke about a bit earlier. Yeah.
And the other thing I'd say is that, it's a 30K zone, so it's a moot point that this guy's talking about. Like, he couldn't go any faster anyway by law. So what does it matter?
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for your call, mate.
Okay, cheers.
John at Southport, what's your opinion, mate?
Oh, mate, look, I'm a truck driver for the city, mate. It's just like, it's for a start, why would a mature person want to exercise in the most polluted, dangerous part of the city? And number two,
that's a stretch. Yeah.
Number two,
you haven't swum in Southport pool.
And another thing, the last time I checked in Australia, when I went for my licence, everything that goes on an Australian road has to have rear view vision and indicators.
Well, thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. You know what? We're going to give John. We've got tickets randomly.
Yeah, we
just pulled them out of the random prize wheel. Choir Boys, Lone Star Tavern, November 3rd. Drive, ride, whatever you want there.
Yeah. No, they've got bike racks so you can drive there, Johnny. Ride there if you want, Johnny.
Perfect. Now, look, a lot of the police are saying, well, even though there's a cycling lane, there's no requirements for cyclists to stay in that lane. So we thought we'd go straight to the top with our mate, Braden Murphy, head of the traffic police.
Yeah, that's his role. But we want to know, is it legal? Is this what we do on Hedges?
Braden, rules and regulations.
Okay, well, in long story short, the video you saw yesterday, the cyclists were in the right. They're allowed to travel on Hedges Avenue, provided they're doing the speed limit. They don't have to travel on the bicycle lane.
Is that an issue that needs to be cleaned up? Because we see how many frustrated people we've got out there on the roads. We've talked about Currumbin, we've talked about Hope Island, everywhere around the Gold Coast. Do these rules need to be a bit more clearer, or what can we do to fix the tension between cyclists and drivers?
Well, I think everyone needs to get along, spot like you said before.
Well, that's never going to happen.
We're all sharing the road. So whether you think cyclists are the right or the wrong, you know, travelling up their backside, you know, in a motor vehicle is never going to help. If one of them comes off and goes underneath the car, you're going to be in a whole world of hurt. So, you know, we just need to start researching the law a little bit better. It's all online. You can jump onto any Google page and put in bicycle laws in Queensland, and you'll get all the road rules. You know, we tend to get on social media to you know, have a flame about things and to get up people, but no one seems to get on social media to actually research stuff.
Yeah. Well, Braden, look, I think, though, my issue is, if there is a bike lane there, why don't they use it instead of antagonising people? I don't agree with the guys shouting stuff out at them. They're not really two abreast. They're spread out. And if that's the case, does that mean if they can go 60 k's an hour that they can take a lane on the Gold Coast Highway because they can?
Well, technically they can, Bridgie. If they're doing the speed limit, they're not hindering traffic. They're quite entitled. But as I said, they can't be more than two abreast. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But again, look, there's fault on both sides in all these scenarios. And, you know, bicycle riders do take some liberty sometimes. And, you know, when they are two abreast, they're, you know, they're almost semi-trail apart.
Yeah. But if you've got a cycle lane, why don't you use it? That's the whole reason that is not a two-way street and it's a one-way street to accommodate them. So we accommodate them with their own lane and then they don't use it. I don't get it.
I guess on Hedges, it's probably a little bit different because you've got a lot of other bicycles that sort of go up and down.
Yeah,
Hedges,
it's a two-way for the bikes.
Oh,
yeah, so you know, you might run over...
And runners.
A young bloke called Al Dobie, I think, normally rides up Hedges. You're not going to run over Al.
So I tell you what, you got to swerve to go around him on a freeway.
Look, thank you so much, Braden Murphy, head of traffic management. And look, thank you for all your calls there. They are still coming thick and fast, but please go to our Facebook page.
If you've got an opinion.
At Gold92.5 with your opinions. And as Camille, our producer, said, let's just keep it all fairly nice. Let's not start...
Go your hardest, just don't
slinging like monkeys. Don't.
Bridge. Peter's trying to tell me that he watched Bachelor Final last night and he cried. That's ridiculous.
He cried that it was over, I bet.
Yeah. No, I watched the end of it. I cried. I spilt my beer halfway through.
That's what I've got.
No, but I did watch it.
Oh, what a journey. The journey is over. Sophie's found the one who's soulmate, which means one of them had to be rejected. Ooh, we thought it'd be the case. Poor Jared.
In my head, I know you're everything, but my heart belongs to someone else.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
Jared joins us now. This is hard. This is tough. Jared, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, good, guys. How are you?
Good, mate.
Morning.
Mate, I'm going to turn this into a... I'm going straight on the front foot here, and I'm turning this into a complete positive, and I'm going to ask you about your wine.
Oh, yes. Of course you would. AJ loves his wine. He's a McLaren Vale man, AJ.
Oh, beautiful. AJ, you're welcome at our place anytime.
Where are you, mate? Where are you set up?
So South Gippsland, 2 hours out of Melbourne.
A friend of ours just brought a backpack as an old pub down South Gippy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what do you produce there, mate?
We've got, Cab Sav, Shiraz, Spark Whites and Reds, and Sav Blanc Riesling, and just about to do our Chardonnay and a sparkling rosé.
Can you explain why, when it comes to the red varietals, Jared, I get a bit tired, emotional and want a bit all at the same time. Is that what you were on last night? Does red wine make you a bit teary?
Look, red wine definitely calms me down. It's my relaxing drug. So, you know, if I need a time to chill out... And at night time, I mean, big day on the vineyard, you just want to have a glass of red.
So you'll be having a few.
What do you mean? He had a barrel last night.
Yes, I crushed my own grapes and I drank the grapes that Sophie and I crushed from the beginning. No, that's just weird.
Are the plants still growing, though?
Yes.
The plant's still going strong. It's at the mansion just waiting for me to go see it.
See, it is tough. I just read an article that you said if it doesn't work out, you're on the wings, ready to step in, that you will always love Sophie. How hard is it going to be for the next woman that comes along?
Yes, I know. That's probably going to be the downside to it. I mean, my standards have now gone to Sophie Monk, so it might get harder for me to pick the right girl. And I apologise to the girls if I'm stubborn out there. But, yeah, look, Sophie's a beautiful person. And, yeah, I'll always love her. I mean, her and I have grown together so well. And she's helped me become a better person.
Well, it's pretty silly then to ask you that you're pretty happy you did the show then, because, you know, when you before you started, you didn't know Sophie, and to be able to fall for someone, you know, relatively quickly, surprising.
Yes, look, it was. It's an incredible experience to have feelings for Sophie, and I have no regrets whatsoever, because if I didn't do it, then I'd never find out what I was capable of. And all I wanted to do was find somebody, find a life partner and settle down and enjoy life that way. But I'll just go back to the drawing board now and just take some time and see how everything works out.
Well, Jared, I'm just going to end on a positive note. What girlfriends do with other girlfriends when we go through the breakup. Let's open up the Pinot Noir and I'll give you some of the best. There's plenty more fish in the sea. Your value doesn't decrease based on someone's inability to see your worth. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it's happened. And this one, never get jealous when you see your ex with someone else, because our parents always taught us to give our used toys to the less fortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, very well put. You know, I said hello. I saw Sophie before the finale last night.
Aww.
So, like, we gave each other a hug and we had a cheers. And, yeah, so everything's fine there. It's actually pretty cool that we can, the three of us can be around each other that well and that easy.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you go one night on your own in a beautiful villa overlooking the on the water of Fiji?
Look, that was hard. That was hard. I sat in a bath that I could actually fit in, and I drank Carver all night until I fell asleep.
Well, that was
the night before the finale, so yeah.
Oh, that's one way to wash it all off.
Thanks, Jared. Good luck with South Gippie and your winery and everything as well.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
Good on you, Jared. We're finding out where your Blueberry Hill was. Mine was St. Brendan's College in Devonport, Tasmania.
And we mean that in inverted commas. You know, where you might go with the opposite sex in a car somewhere and, you know.
Just a friend.
But just have a look at the view.
Yeah, just a friend. The Crib Point Public Pool.
Yours, Peter?
Hang on. That's a public... What?
The public pool in Crib Point. It was a great place to hang out for all the guys.
Wow.
It was our Blueberry Hill. Rod McLeod.
Rod.
In the bush at Alstonville next to the rock.
See? Bridgie.
Mount Cuther.
Mount Cuther.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you've got
beautiful
class.
View. Beautiful view. Or kind of around Frog Rock, just down there near Rainbow...
What, the same day?
Rainbow Bay? No.
A long trip.
No, I was a good Catholic girl, believe you me.
Lynn.
Well, St. Brendan's was a Catholic school. Lynn, your Blueberry Hill.
Oh, I thought we were going to keep it clean and I was going to say Fingerhead, but hey, there's always the back of the airport.
Oh, good on you. Flying high. Thank you. Thank you very
Tiger
much for
or
that one.
Qantas.
Yeah.
Karen at Ormo, your Blueberry Hill.
Oh. Mount Coolum.
Mount Coolum.
That's a bit of class.
Yes, it is. Yeah, classier than a pool with everyone else around, Peter. Thanks, Karen. Julian Pottsville, where was your Blueberry Hill?
Well, I grew up near a small country town called Castlemaine in central Victoria, and there was a reservoir out in the bush with a track around it. It was called Golden Point Reservoir, and we used to say we were going to watch the luminous ducks at Golden Point. It was a bit a giveaway when you'd get home and you'd walk into your mum and dad and you had your top on inside out.
The luminous ducks. Oh, that's hilarious.
Julie, I like Castlemaine. It's a good place.
Julie, can I be very personal and ask you what age?
Age.
What age I am?
Just give her the ticket.
What age was I? Yeah. Oh, about 18.
Oh, that's all right.
Oh,
yeah, I wasn't that young.
I was 14.
You have to see Human League.
Why do I need to hear this? I don't want to hear it.
I'm not going to the office with you now. You're really on your own. Human League tickets are all yours, Julie.
Yes,
congratulations,
please.
Julie. You're off to see Human League at the Star across the road at the Big House. 16 December. Tickets at Ticket Tech. Great show. Double pass there.
AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.